Okay, today now the message in our continuing study in the Revelation. Remember, it's the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm taking the title for the message from chapter 19, verse 6. Chapter 19, verse 6. John says, as he receives this vision, I heard, as it were, a voice of a great multitude. This is a great multitude, innumerable, 10,000 times, 10,000 and thousands, singing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive all honor and glory." This great multitude has a voice of many waters, as a voice of mighty thunderings, saying all together, this great multitude, these many waters of the voices, all in unison and harmony, one message, one saying, "Hallelujah." That means praise the Lord, because or for or because the Lord God omnipotent, He reigns. He reigns. Notice He reigneth. He always has reigned, always will reign. That phrase, "Hallelujah," means praise ye the Lord. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is our God and Savior who reigns forever and ever upon His throne of absolute authority, absolute sovereignty. There's no beginning of His reign as God and King. And there certainly will be no end of His sovereign, holy reign over all things. We read through the Psalms earlier, Psalm 93, Psalm 96, Psalm 97, Psalm 99, and that repeated message over and over, "Hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent, the Lord does reign. He does reign over all things." And I like what it says down in verse 7 of our text, "Let us be glad." Aren't you glad that God is God? That He does all things right and well. Let us be glad and let us rejoice and let us give Him honor. I'm glad that He does reign over all things. He is, and we're going to see in this chapter, look at verse 16, He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now the presidents and potentates, or they call themselves potentates of this world's government, they think they reign, don't they? The king's heart in the hand of the Lord, and He turns it like the river, whithersoever He will. He's King of Kings, and He's Lord of Lords. Another psalm says in Psalm 47, verse 7, God is King of all the earth. He's King. He's King not by democratic process. We didn't have a vote on this. God had made that same Jesus whom you crucified, God had made Him both Lord and Christ. We bow to His Lordship. We acknowledge His Lordship. We don't make Him Lord. Some people say, "Well, make Him your Lord." You can't do that. He's always been the Lord by God's eternal decree. This statement, it says here, "Hallelujah," which means praise the Lord, is found in the book of Psalms 22 times. 22 times. Now, I realize that in this day, there used to be a TV show years ago, remember, called the PTL Club? Mm-hmm. You remember that? Nonsense. That silliness back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. PTL, Praise the Lord. It's a Praise the Lord Club. And it became just a meaningless statement of just religious saying, didn't it? But to the people of God, that's what they truly desire in their heart, is to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Worship, honor, and glorify Him. Another psalm I found, Psalm 106, verse 48, said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say, Amen. Praise ye the Lord." Now, that's why we're here today, to praise the Lord. And it's not this outward show of, you know, we're going to get together and we're just going to have a hallelujah time. This worship before God is a matter of the heart, before God. Be still and know, he said, that I am God. Now, in this chapter, chapter 19, when the great harlot of false religion, false Christianity, and the religion of Antichrist. Now, the religion of Antichrist, they're not anti-religion. They're not anti-good works. They're not anti-morality. They're anti-Christ. They stand in opposition to the Christ of God. When the great harlot of false religion, the refuge of lies, the religion of Antichrist, the great city of idolaters called Babylon, is experiencing the wine of the fierceness of the wrath of God's holy eternal judgment, all the heavenly hosts, those redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, will say, Amen, Hallelujah. They will be in total agreement with God's holy justice against all sin. All heaven, the great multitude of the redeemed, saints and angels, celebrate the total and complete victory of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, over all opposition. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. What? Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The lion of the tribe of Judah has indeed prevailed. Never again shall the wicked be able to assault the kingdom of God, the throne of God, or the saints of God. He'll put all opposition out of business. He'll cast them into the lake of fire and brimstone to be remembered no more. The lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. He went forth conquering and to conquer, and all believers have the complete and total victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, he said in Revelation 1:18, I'm he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. I have the keys of hell and death. He rules and reigns over all things. We can say with the Apostle Paul, thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Because he conquered sin, death, hell, and the grave, Satan. Because he conquered, we are winners in him. Now, verse 1 and 2, Revelation 19, after these things, and we could spend the rest of the morning talking about after these things. Everything we've seen in the first 18 chapters. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. How'd they get there? Certainly not by their deeds, certainly not by their works. This great multitude in heaven are there because God brought them there by his grace. Saved them through the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. The great voice of much people in heaven. And the people in heaven are those for whom the Lord Jesus Christ called his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. Saying, what do they say? Praise the Lord. They say praise the Lord. They say praise the Lord now too, don't they? Saying, salvation, glory, honor, power unto the Lord our God. We acknowledge that all power, glory, and honor, he's worthy of all such. There will be many redeemed in glory with the Lord. There'll be much people in heaven. Remember in chapter 5, it talks about those who sing the song of the redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of Christ out of every kindred, tribe, nation, tongue, and people under heaven. 10,000 times 10,000 and 1,000. And what are they saying? What are they singing? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive all honor, glory, blessing, power, both now and forever. Who are these people? Much people in heaven. They are those who are sealed by God in their forehead. Remember, turn back to chapter 7. That's 144,000, remember? In chapter 7, verse 2, and I saw another angel ascending from the east, having a seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the tree, till we've sealed the servants of God in their forehead. They're signed, sealed, and delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ. They're sealed with God the Holy Spirit of promise unto eternal salvation. Who are these people? They're chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. As Paul said, we're bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you unto salvation. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be to the praise of the glory of his grace. Their names were written in the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. He wrote our name down. The foundation of God standeth sure, having his seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. He knows the name of his sheep and he calls them out. How long has he known them? From eternity. They were redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn back to chapter 1, verse 6. I quote this verse all the time. And I hope that I love it as much as I quote it. In Revelation chapter 1, unto him, the last part, let's read verse 5. Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and made us kings and priests unto our God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion and honor forever and ever. What do we say? Amen. The redeemed in glory know why they are there. They are there because they're chosen and redeemed and sealed in the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity. They were saved by his sovereign grace. We can say with Paul, I am what I am by the grace of God. Sovereign grace, sovereign love. Hail sovereign love that first began a scheme to rescue fallen sinners. Grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. I ran into a local preacher here. If I called his name, you would know who he is, but I'm not going to call his name. But he's a local preacher here who pastors a church here locally. And I ran into him at Walmart one time, and he said to me, you can't show me in the Bible where it says sovereign grace. I said, really? You don't believe that? And I thought of this verse. I'll just read it to you. Romans 5, for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of another shall many be made righteous. One man's disobedience, Adam, made sinners. By the obedience of another, Christ, shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered in that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now here's sovereign grace. Romans 5:21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. That's sovereign grace, isn't it? Grace reigns through righteousness. Whose? Whose righteousness? You know whose righteousness, right? Christ. By his obedience, many shall be made righteous in Christ. And what do they say? They say, praise the Lord. They say, salvation of the Lord. They say, all glory, honor, power be unto the Lord. Now, we've seen this before. We've seen this statement before. Turn back to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. They say the same thing. Even in chapter 5, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne. You see Revelation 5, verse 13. But look at Revelation 7, verse 9. It's a repeated message. Revelation 7, verse 9. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, the same multitude, redeemed by the blood of Christ, which no man could number, of all nation, kindred, people, tongue, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God. It sits upon the throne. And the angels round about the throne and the elders and the four beasts fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. You see, it's a repeated message, isn't it? Repeated message. Again, turn to chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 15. Chapter 11, verse 15. The seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign, or that reign, that sovereign reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders, that's the church, sat before God on their seats, which sat before God on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee great power, and thou hast, what? What's that word? Thou hast reigned. You see, that's the message of this whole book. God is God over all things, and he reigns supreme, absolute. It's a repeated message of this revelation of Jesus Christ. And here's what they say. They say, well, praise the Lord. And it's not just this meaningless religious slogan. They really mean it in their heart. As David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Isn't that the desire of your heart? To worship God as he ought to be worshipped? To believe him as we ought to believe him? Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. David said in another psalm, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name that we give glory and honor for all things thou hast done. And notice in verse 1, they say not only praise the Lord, but they say salvation. They say salvation is of the Lord. Now, who needs salvation? Good folks don't need salvation. Sinners need salvation. I need salvation. I'm a sinner. I need salvation. They say that salvation is of the Lord. They praise the Lord for his salvation. Redeemed in glory certainly know that their salvation is of the Lord. They know why they are there. And they don't look to their works and say, well, look what I've done. Look what I've earned. No, they look to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, praise the Lord for what he has done for us. Salvation's of the Lord in its planning, for he's a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Salvation's of the Lord in its purchase. He bought us with his own blood. Salvation's of the Lord in its performance. He performed all things for me. Everything God demands of this sinner, the Lord Jesus Christ has performed and provided for me completely. Salvation of the Lord in his perfection. You're looking at a sinner that's perfected in Christ Jesus, that's complete in him. The Apostle Paul writes about it this way in Romans 8, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We are predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's perfection. Anybody who says, well, I don't believe in predestination, that man immediately, you know that he doesn't believe God reigns. God had predestinated the people to be conformed to the image of Christ. Salvation of the Lord in its planning, its purchase, its performance, perfection. Salvation of the Lord in its purpose. God saves every sinner. He saves on purpose. All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his, I love that word, purpose. God saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our work, but according to his own purpose and grace given us in Christ before the foundation of the world. I can't say that strong enough. I wish I could say it as it says there, as a voice of a great thunder, and as a voice of many waters. Purpose. And then they say, not only salvation, not only hallelujah and salvation, they say glory and honor. You see that in verse 1? Glory and honor is due to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. What is the grand design of redemption? It's the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? You remember back in chapter 4, turn over there. We've seen this before too, haven't we? Revelation chapter 4, when those beasts, verse 9, give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat upon the throne, who liveth forever and ever. The beasts, the four beasts there, are the servants of God. They say in verse 8, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Revelation 4, verse 8. He sits upon the throne forever and ever. Verse 10, they fall down before the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. They cast their crown before the throne, saying, thou art worthy. You see it, verse 11. O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. You see, it's a repeated message of all the Word of God, is it not? Thou hast created all things for thy pleasure. They are and they were created. God created all things by the word of his power. Then they say salvation, back to Revelation 19, verse 1. Salvation, glory, honor, power. Power. People love power in this day. Politicians love power. They want to get some power. When they get a hold of that power, they don't want to let go of that power. They don't have any power at all. All power belongs to God. All power belongs to God. The saints of God know that their salvation is due to God's power alone. Our Lord prayed in John 17, Father, you've given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given to me. Remember, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that Christ crucified is the wisdom of God and the what? The power of God unto salvation. Everyone that believes. You see, it's his power that put away our sin. I can't put away sin. If you could stop sinning, and you can't, but if you could stop sinning, what about all those back there? You don't have any power to make atonement for your sin. All power, the Lord Jesus has all power to put away our sin. How much power does it take to put away sin? The power of Almighty God. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He has all power to call us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He calls us, translates us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. He has all power to do that. Thank God he does. He has power to raise us from the dead and quicken us together with Christ Jesus. We only believe the gospel by the working of his mighty power. It's not man's free will. We had on the radio this morning, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. No man can come. No man has the will or ability to come. There's no such thing as man's free will. Man has a will, yeah, but it's fallen into praying. So it's selfward and downward, never Godward and upward. We only believe the gospel according to the working of his mighty power. That's what it says. The gospel of Christ is called the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes it. That's why Paul says, I'm not ashamed of that power. God, the Lord God omnipotent, reigneth. And then he says this next in verse 2. The saints of God know this. True and righteous are his judgments. True, his judgments are true. They're true to his holy character. God cannot. Now, there's something God cannot do. Did you know that? God cannot lie. God cannot change. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. It's impossible for God to lie. Everything God does is according to his character. He's true to his character. When he saves sinners by his grace, he doesn't bypass his holy justice. He honors his justice and his mercy in Christ crucified. He saves us in a way, in such a way that his truth is honored and his mercy is honored in Christ. You remember that scripture, Psalm 85:10. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. For true and righteous are his judgments. Everything God does is right. He does it in truth. And he does it according to his holy character. His holy character. All the decrees of God are just and right. Have we seen that before? Let's turn back to chapter 15, Revelation 15, verse 3. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of the saints. Yeah, that's the message. True and righteous are his judgment. Let's see if we can find another one. Chapter 16, verse 7. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He will. He will do right by his own eternal, immutable, unchangeable decrees of God. He will do everything that is right in harmony with his holy character. He saves sinners in a just and a right way. In all things, he does right. He's too holy to do otherwise. Too holy to make a mistake. Those who are condemned are getting exactly what they deserve. Is that true? Exactly. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. If God sent you to hell, that's exactly what we deserve. We don't deserve mercy. Thank God he delights to show mercy. But all I deserve, all I've got coming to me is wrath, judgment, because I've sinned against God. Now, I take my place before God as a mercy beggar. Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. He said, come to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Verse 3. Look at verse 3 in our text. And again they said, hallelujah. And the smoke rose up forever and ever. He's talking about the judgment. God's holy, righteous, immutable judgment against all sin and sinners who are cast into the lake of fire, as it says in verse 20 of this same chapter. The beast was taken with the false prophet that wrought miracles, which deceived them that received the mark of the beast, and them that worship his image. These were both cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Haven't we seen that before? Turn back to Revelation chapter 14, verse 9. The third angel followed, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, this is 14, verse 9. Worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. It's called the wrath of the Lamb, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, who receive the mark of his name. There is an eternal condemnation. Just as certain and sure as there is an eternal glorious salvation, certain and sure there is an eternal condemnation for those not found in the Lord Jesus Christ. The saints of God praise the Lord for his strict and holy justice. The smoke of their torment arose forever, ever and ever. The condemnation of the wicked is forever. It's everlasting destruction. Sin is only put away by the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our suffering for our sin will never put it away. It's only by the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ that sin is put away. Put away by the sacrifice of himself once for all, forever. Now look at verse 4. These 24 elders, we know from reading the word of God back in chapter 4, represent all the elect of God. The four beasts are those living creatures who were sent to preach the gospel. They are a picture and type of those ministers sent north, south, east, and west. The four, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. They fall down and worship God that sits on a throne. And they say, what do they say? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 5, and a voice came out of the throne saying again, praise our God. Praise the Lord. All ye his servants, we are bond slaves of Christ. Ye that fear him, there's a reverential fear for God, both small and great. And I heard as it were a great voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Now, have you ever noticed that the scripture repeats itself over and over and over and over again? It's no wonder that God's servants preach the same thing over and over and over again. We repeat the same lines over and over and over again. If I come to you quoting someone else or something else, hit that door and leave. Don't listen to me. If I come here quoting Shakespeare or Socrates or Plato or some philosophers or we repeat what God's already said. That's what preaching the gospel is all about. It's just repeating what God's already said. They say the Lord reigns. They say praise the Lord. He reigns. They say that God reigns. That he's omnipotent. That means he's all powerful. All powerful. Remember, if you look back quickly at chapter 4. Verse 8, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. He's the omnipotent God. Now, can we take this too far? Can we put it in such a way as to give God too much power? Too much honor? Too much glory? I want to be guilty of doing that. You can't preach him high enough, big enough, strong enough, powerful enough. I wish I had words to do it. But we're confined. The Lord God is absolute, the omnipotent, sovereign, reigns over all things. The Lord reigneth. And we usually mention three things. He reigned in creation. He created all things by the word of his power. Now, how much power does it take to create a universe? God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke all things into existence by the word of his power. We don't create anything. Man has never created anything. Now, we might shuffle a few things around. But God is the only one who creates all things. How can he do that? He's omnipotent. He reigns over all things. Created all things by the word of his power. And we talk about the sovereignty of God not only in creation, but the sovereignty of God in providence. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. The Lord said, I've spoken it, I bring it to pass, I purpose it, I will do it. Of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory both now and forever. What is that? Romans 11 verse 36. Of him and through him and to him. That covers all things, doesn't it? He rules in all things in providence. And certainly he rules as the sovereign in salvation. He said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. He will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. On whom he will, he'll harden. Why do some people hate the gospel and some believe it? The sovereign purpose of God. The only reason you love the gospel and believe the gospel is because God gave you faith. As many as were ordained to eternal life believe the gospel. In the book of Job, we read, he's of one mind, who can turn him? What his soul desireth, even that he doeth. He performeth the things that appointed for me. God's not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord says, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. As I purpose, so shall it stand. The Lord has purposed, who shall disannul it? His hand is stretched out, who can turn it back? His hand stretched out. There was a king one time who lived in Babylon. Remember when Daniel was carried away into Babylonian captivity for 70 years? There was a king who reigned in Babylon. Remember his name? Nebuchadnezzar. And he bragged one day, read it in Daniel chapter 4. He bragged one day, oh, this is great Babylon I've built. And God said to him, you're going to be like a wild animal cast out in the field. And God cast him out. And God taught him a lesson. And here's what he said. Here's what he said. It's recorded in Daniel chapter 4. He said, when the Lord taught him this lesson, he said, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of this earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, Lord God Almighty, what doest thou? Now that's the lesson we need to be taught. All those who have heard and learned of the Father, they come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Nebuchadnezzar confessed this. Now he said, Daniel 4, verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, his ways, judgment, those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Boy, he learned that lesson, didn't he? God will teach you that lesson too. He'll abase you. He's nigh them of a broken heart. Save us such as be of a contrite spirit. Our message is one of the absolute lordship of Christ. You remember in Isaiah 52 how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace, that bring good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that saith unto Zion, what do they say? Thy God reigneth. You see, that's the message of the Bible. That's the message of the gospel. The Lord reigns in heaven and earth. Say among the heathen, the Lord reigneth. Now, a lot of people, lost religious people, when they're confronted. Now, here's the thing. When you're faced with this absolute lordship of Christ, his absolute dominion from sea to sea, his absolute reign from ever and ever, when you're faced with that absolute sovereign God, two things: either bow to it or run from it. By his grace, we bow and submit to the absolute lordship of Christ. We confess he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, the first line in verse 7, let us be glad. Let us rejoice. Let us give him honor. And we'll look at that next week. We're married to the Lord. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He will. True and righteous are his judgment. Salvation, glory, honor, power unto the Lord our God forever and ever.